97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the legacy of the longtime voice of the Heels, Woody Durham. Our guest, Jones Angel, the current voice of the Heels. Jones, let me start by reading something from the Charlotte Observer and get you to react to this. I love good writing, and I think this is very good writing. And this is what the author of this article said about Woody. There is magic in a voice with a good story to tell. In this current age of screens, screeds, and screaming, perhaps you have forgotten this. But you knew it once when you were little, and somebody entranced you by using words and nothing more. That, to me, really encapsulates Woody Durham.
You know, Woody was so talented in what he did. Dr. Tuggle, he was just such a wordsmith for sure. And I don't think he gets credit enough for just his talent level. I mean, there was so much about Woody that made him good at what he did, and there are various layers to it. But I think at the base of it, he was just a really talented individual. And I've heard Mick Mixon, who of course was his broadcast partner for 16 years and is a pretty good wordsmith himself. You know, I've heard Mick say that he felt like Woody was doing what he was put on earth to do, that he was meant to be an announcer. And I think that's right. With just the quality of his voice, the distinctive nature of his voice, and the way that he hit just the right tone, not just for what he was doing, but for the area in which he was doing it. To me, he is the quintessential voice, not just of the University of North Carolina, but one of the voices of the state of North Carolina. It was just a perfect marriage between a person, an area, and a profession.
You used the word wordsmith a couple of times, and you know how I personally feel about using the right words. You know, we all know people who can talk for an hour and not really say anything. Woody could talk for 10 seconds and say everything.
He was very impactful in the way that he went about things. And, you know, I think he was very purposeful in what he said as well. And I think he was generous with that ability and with that knowledge too, which is something that I always appreciated from him. You know, personally for me and for other young broadcasters. I mean, I know countless people who Woody sat down with and talked with and gave his advice to. And that was impactful advice because you were talking to somebody who was had reached such an important level and such a high level in a profession that we all love and enjoy. And so I agree with you. You know, he was somebody who, you know, Woody could, he could go on and tell a story and could go on for a while if you wanted him to, or he could hit you right in the heart after about 5 or 10 seconds. And I think it just speaks to the quality of person and broadcaster that he really was.
Jones, I feel like you are doing a very good job. In fact, an excellent job as the voice of the Heels. But was there a time, even early on, when you felt somewhat unworthy? Not because of your own abilities, but because of whose place you were taking?
That's a terrific question. You know, I've never been asked that question before. No, I don't think so. But the reason I say no is twofold. Number one is I had confidence in my ability to do the job itself, just at the base of it. I understood what transition was occurring, and I understood and appreciated the level, the importance level that Woody held. I knew that because he held that to me. And so that helped me understand how important he was to other Carolina fans as well. I grew up listening to Woody. You've heard me say this before. I grew up a Tar Heel fan, I had that important relationship with him like so many others do. And so I understood that, and I had confidence in my ability to do the job. And what also the second part of that is his willingness to help me and the level of class that he showed during the transition time really helped me out. The day that I was going to get the job, he called me and told me how excited he was and how proud he was and how he was never going to get in my way, but he was always going to be there to help me or give me advice if I wanted it. And to hear that from somebody I respected as much as I do and did Woody, that was incredible. And so, no, I never felt unworthy. Now, I'm not going to say that the transition was easy or that it was 100% smooth, but I knew I could do the job, and I had the confidence of Woody behind me and understood his importance, and all those things put together helped me during that transition time.
Most of us had our earliest encounters with Woody through the radio. Do you remember your earliest encounter with him in person?
Without a doubt. I was an intern with our radio network, and it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year in school. And I was in our studio. The Tar Heel Sports Network used to be totally locally owned and operated. Now we're owned by a parent company. But it was, at the time, locally owned and operated. And I was in a little studio that there used to be in the Smith Center, and I don't even know what I was doing there. Honestly, Dr. Tuggle, I'm not sure what my role was that day other than just to be around. And, I was just kind of sitting and trying to soak it all in. And Woody came in, and he and Mick, I remember, were going to do some station liners during the summer. So, they were going to sit in there, and now you're listening to Tar Heel Football on WXYZ, and then you're listening to Tar Heel Football on WCHL, and just go down the line and kind of send all these things out during the off season. And I remember when he walked in, I was absolutely starstruck, 100%, because I had spent so many hours with him, even though he had no idea who I was. I had spent hours and had all these important memories from my childhood of cheering for Carolina with Woody. And it was him who was the soundtrack, and he was the one who was the constant, who was always there. And, so I was, I was shaky. I didn't even know what to do. And he, came up and shook my hand and was very nice. And I remember that day I went and got lunch. I just went and bought, I got him and Mick lunch for the day. And when I was going to go do it, I just remember I said, wow, I've got $20 of Woody's money. This is unbelievable. And so it was just a really fun experience. And one I'll never forget. And of course, I was so lucky to further that relationship as time went on.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with the current voice of the Heels, Jones Angel, about the longtime voice of the Heels, Woody Durham. Jones, you just told us a really cool story about your first encounter with Woody. Do you remember your last encounter with him?
I took that deep breath because I'm trying to think. I saw Woody several times over the last several years, either at games. He would come to a radio show or two. We have our Larry Fedora Live during football season and Roy Williams Live during basketball season. We have those shows at Top of the Hill Restaurant there in Chapel Hill, and Woody would always make it a point to come with Gene, his wife, to a show or two a year. But the last time I really think I sat down and really had an extensive interaction with Woody was when he was going to make the announcement publicly about the fight that he had with aphasia, and that he was going to be taking a step back from the public eye, because he had continued to do speaking engagements and of course was in high demand for things like that, but because of the affliction that he was battling, it just got to the point where it wasn't something he was comfortable doing anymore, and so he wanted to make that public announcement. And so Adam Lucas, who does a terrific job covering the Tar Heels more on a writing standpoint, Adam and I went to go see Woody and Gene that particular day, and he was going to record something to go into addition to their press release. He was going to have an actual audio portion of it, of him reading a portion of the release to Toriel fans, so he could kind of explain with his voice why he was making that decision. And so we sat with them for a long time that day and chatted and told some stories. And, you know, Dr. Tuggle, that was a tough day. I don't mind telling you, it was the first time that the health problems that he had really hit me. And I got a front row seat to see some of the struggles that he was having. And that was tough. It was tough to see him that way. And I know that some days were better than other days, but I also know that it was getting more and more difficult as time went on. And so, I don't like to think of that day as my final memory of Woody as far as our extensive conversations. I think much more of the times where we were together and on the road and in the hotels and, you know, going to games and getting lunches and all those fun times that we had just on a personal level. Where we would also share things on a professional level, and he would help me as I was growing as a young man. So I have so many of those positive memories with Woody that those are the ones I really like to think back on and focus on.
Jones, you're in New York City for the ACC tournament, and perhaps you knew this was coming, but whether you knew it was coming or not, what was your visceral reaction to seeing Woody's name on the back of the warm-up jerseys?
Oh, I did not know that was coming. And the first thing I did, honestly, Dr. Tuggle, is I smiled. I just thought it was such a nice, just little touch. It's not a big, grandiose thing. It's not in your face, but it's just a nice little tip of the cap to what Woody has always meant to Carolina athletics and to Carolina basketball. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, these guys on this year's team, you know, they probably don't know Woody very well. You know, Luke May, I know, grew up in North Carolina. Of course, his dad played football with the Tar Heels, so he knows a little bit about him. But, you know, these guys don't know Woody really well because they've never worked with him. It was after he had retired. But they still understand from hearing from other people, and they still hear from their coaches, of course, the importance that Woody held in this community. So I just thought it was such a nice and proper way to just say, hey, Woody, we're thinking about you today, and to his family, and say, hey, this is just a little way to say we're thinking about you and thank you for all you've done for us.
Did the current players have some sort of reaction to, if they didn't know the man, they knew the legacy?
Sure. You know, I think it was interesting. Luke May said something about it after the game. Carolina played, of course, the day that Woody actually passed away and beat Syracuse that particular evening. And after the game, you know, Luke said it wasn't necessarily that he was out there thinking, hey, I've got to get this rebound for Woody Durham. But he said he was just honored to kind of be a part of the whole experience. Because before the game, they did have a moment of silence there in Barclays Center for Woody. Luke actually was out in the center jump circle at the time, because after the moment of silence, he was going to be awarded the Prosser Award, which is given to the top scholar athlete in men's basketball in the ACC. And he talked about just kind of having that moment wash over him a little bit while he was sitting there, separated a little bit from his teammates because he was getting that individual award and being out there for that moment of silence. So yeah, I certainly think that they were aware of the impact of the man and his legacy and just kind of what it meant to Tar Heel fans. Because I think at this point, Dr. Tuggle, it's really the Tar Heel fans that have those impressive, important memories about Woody through the years.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of the legacy of Woody Durham, longtime voice of the Heels, with the current voice of the Heels, Jones Angel. Jones, nothing happens in a vacuum. And you look back at about the past 3 years, and we've lost some iconic sports figures at Carolina. Stuart Scott, Dean Smith, and now Woody Durham. Other than the obvious, or perhaps we need to state the obvious, what did those three men have in common?
A love of Carolina. I think is number one. And I'd add Bill Guthridge to that list as well, of course.
Coach Gutt, yeah.
Longtime assistant to Dean Smith. You know, I think I asked Wes Durham, you know, we had Wes on, Woody's son, on one of our halftime shows here during the ACC tournament coverage. And, you know, I asked Wes, you know, how would you define Woody's relationship with Carolina and with the Tar Heel Sports Network? And one of the very first things he said was loyalty. And he said, my dad, I'm speaking as Wes a little bit here, he said, you know, my dad was loyal to the University of North Carolina and to the Tar Heels. And he talked about how Woody used to, you know, go to football games in the back of a pickup truck, acting like he was selling Coke so that he could get in to go watch Charlie Justice play. And I think that just speaks to, it's a lifelong commitment. It's a lifelong relationship. And all those gentlemen that you mentioned had that relationship for the long term with Carolina. And they love the university. They love the institution. They love the athletic side of things at Carolina. And they devoted themselves to it. Now, of course, Stuart Scott moved on and did things on a national level as well. But there was no doubt that he loved Carolina and had that relationship and that dedication to UNC. So to me, that's what it is. It's a relationship that starts early and never ends.
When I came to this university almost 19 years ago, I knew of the reputation of the university, but I didn't truly understand what it meant to be at Carolina. Can you summarize that for our listeners, what it means? I know, you know, we hear the Carolina way and it almost seems kind of trite, but then you think of people like these and it seems very real.
Gosh, that may be a bigger job than I have the ability to handle. I mean, that is such a big question, because I think in some ways it's the same for everybody, in some ways it's different for everybody. You know, Carolina is a place that gets kind of inside you and never leaves. And once you get there, you don't want to leave. And it's amazing, Dr. Tuggle, I've had so many people come up to me who love the Tar Heels, and they say, you have the dream job. You have what I want to do, because you get to celebrate Carolina. You get to talk about Carolina. You get to think about Carolina, and you get to do it every day, and you get to be here. And I feel that way. Yeah, I get to be at the place that is so special to me, and special to me for so many reasons. My dad went here. My mom went here. My sister went here. I went here. My wife went here. My brother-in-law went here. It's in our family. It's part of my life, and it has been forever. And it is a key cornerstone in so many memories of my childhood and growing up. And everybody has those individual memories that mean something to them, but Carolina is the centerpiece, I think, that ties them all together. It's the location, it's the beauty, it's the feeling you get on a football Saturday, it's watching the Tar Heels come back and win a big basketball game, it's walking through the quad on a spring afternoon. There's so many different things that you love about this place, but Carolina is the centerpiece to all of it.
So, Jones, let me come back to where we started. The ability to encapsulate that in words, I think, is what's really special. And Woody was able to do that. Charles Kuralt was able to do that. Wordsmiths. Come back to that concept in the final minute or so that we have left, and let's revisit Woody as a wordsmith.
You know, I think Woody appreciated Carolina the way that you and I just talked about. And I think there's no doubt that he had the love for this place. And I think that through his words, he tried to express that love and express his dedication to this university and to this athletic department. And nobody does it the same. I mean, you know, Woody would have his fun sayings, the go to war, Miss Agnes, and the good gosh, Gertie. But he also had the go where you go and do what you do. And all those things have become a part of Carolina. They have become a part of the Tar Heel experience. And I think that is one of the really lasting legacies of Woody Durham.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Jones Angel, the man who replaced, or should we say, took the place of Woody Durham, because he's actually irreplaceable. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, we thank you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.